Such disunity, such chaos, such all kinds of things we could just keep naming. And it's tough to understand. It really is. But when we look at the scripture, when we look at the scripture and we believe what the Word of God says, He says these things will come. These things will come. So for the church, for me, it's an exciting time He said there'd be perilous times. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be times. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be trials. There's going to be hard times. He didn't say that that wouldn't come. He said it would come. But it's still an exciting time because we know God's in control. And when I read the Scripture, I see Scripture that is being fulfilled. It's prophetic. And I see, man, I see more and more of an evidence that God knows what He's doing. And we don't understand it. It's hard to comprehend some of the things that we believe in that have been, you know, the things that I have always stood up for, the things that I've always, as a kid, grew up in this world is being changed. It's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend how it can happen like it has. Of course, we know because Satan's in down here doing his thing, right? And that's what he does. He causes chaos. He causes division. He causes all this stuff to happen. And God calls us as the church to stand strong. He calls us as the church to be a light in the darkness of the world. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit has to be in control. And I know that sometimes it falls on deaf ears. But I know what the Scripture says, and I know that we win. Amen? We win. The church wins. Amen? And we need not to forget that. No matter what goes on, you can read the history. History repeats itself a lot of times. But we know that we win in the end. You know, and for the past few weeks, God has put this on me. I've had this burden in my heart to preach about practical things, really. I preach really about practical things. I don't try to go into deep theology, which I could, but there's a time for that. But yet there's practical living in our life, and the main objective is serving Christ to the best of our ability. That's the main objective. It's not about knowing the Hebrew word for a certain phrase or this or that. It's about knowing and believing and applying it to your life and living every day for Christ. That's what it's about. As one of the first steps in living a godly life is to avoid offenses. This week, I was offended this week by what I saw. I was offended by friends of mine. That I was amazed that they thought the way they thought. And it really offended me for a moment. And I had to realize what was going on, and I had to realize that you know what? What I do and what I say matters. We were in our Bible study Friday night in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's in chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. We were reading through 8 and 9, but in chapter 9, Paul talks about this knowledge that we have. He's talking about the knowledge of Christ. How it affects others around you. He was talking about eating meat. In this area, they worship pagan gods, and they would go and sacrifice to pagan gods. And then the meat that they sacrificed, they were pretty smart business people. They would take that meat that they would sacrifice to their gods, whichever one, whatever day, whatever circumstance they were in, the different god that they would sacrifice to, they would take that meat, cook it, and then sell it to the people around. And then some of the people, they would go buy that meat there and they would eat it. Well, once some had got saved, they thought, they were convicted that it wasn't right for them to eat that meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And Paul said, you know what? Those are meaningless gods. They don't mean anything. That meat, that doesn't mean anything. But yet, if it's a stumbling block for somebody else's conscience that you eat that meat, he said, don't eat it. And Paul said that. He said, if my eating meat is going to cause somebody else to stumble, then I will not eat meat. And that really stuck out to me. And I told the ones in Bible study, I even highlighted it in my Bible and I wrote above it. What we do matters. right now in this chaos going on right now, all these things, and if you want to know how I feel, I'm not afraid to tell you. I'll tell you how I feel about it all. I mean, I served in the military. You know, I was looking in our photos. I got photos. We got every now and then. Everybody does that, right? I'm not alone. Every now and then, you get the photo albums out, and you look through your photo albums. And in one of our photo albums, I found where my honorable discharge from the United States Army was. It just brought back a memory, 1995. I joined in 1987, went to boot camp in Fort Benning, many of you know that. But in 1995, I got my certificate from the Army of my honorable discharge. I mean, I was proud of that. I mean, I was proud of serving, you know. And I know I served in peace. I was a peacekeeper. I served in the Army National Guard here in the state of Illinois. But, you know, it meant something to me and the guys I served with. You know, the country, you know, and then when I see things going on like it is today, you know, these things that really tears at me. It offends me. I think about these offenses, and I think about, as a pastor, somebody even, one of my friends even made a comment, and I'm not afraid to say this, I won't say who it was, but because that's irrelevant. And was nobody around here. You guys don't even know who they are. But they made a comment. They said, as a pastor and a man of God, how can you think that way? Boy, I was like, what? Are you even, you don't even understand. You don't even know. You don't even comprehend. See, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to lash out. Man, I was ready because he sent it to me in a text. Man, I had thumbs ready on fire. I was like, I'm going to tell him exactly what I think. Real quick. And then the Holy Spirit hit me. And that scripture came back to me. He said, be careful what you say. Because what you say matters. What you do matters. We as Christians, we as God-believing believers in Christ, we that serve Christ, what we do matters. What we say matters. How we act matters. How we respond matters. How we respond to offenses. When we experience offenses, we must first pray. First of all, we got to pray. And let me tell you what, you will be offended. Everybody, every one of us, you'll get offended. Somebody will offend you about something. You know, offense is a blessing blocker, and the devil uses it to distance us from the work of God, if we let it. Satan wants to use that and twist it and say, okay, you say this. You tell them this. Holy Spirit says, no, you be the light of the world. You show them love because that's what I show. You show them joy that you have in your life and peace that you have, that you know. Why? Because you know God. And when you know God, you know love and you know joy and you know peace because that peace lives within you. I'm just through the first paragraph of my message. I'm excited this morning. I really am because I love the Lord. Man, I love God. I love being here together with you guys. I love that. I don't want to ever lose that. I don't want somebody to ever come in and say, you can't do what you're doing right now. Nobody wants to lose that, right? But you know, in the old time, in the early church, they lost those privileges a lot and actually were run out of communities. And they were scattered all about. But you know what? It didn't stop the church. They kept going. They kept on. And look at us today. When you take offense, choose to walk in love. You know, over the last few weeks, I preached about faith. Trust. You know, faith is a confidence. Faith is a confidence in the Word of God. Trust is a commitment to the Word of God. Amen? That's what it is. I have faith because I'm confident. And I trust Him. I commit myself to the Word. You know, there are benefits of trusting God and having faith in our life. One of those is the joy and the peace, and the, we got hope, but that love that we share with others. And God cares about our happiness, and He really wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to laugh, and He likes us to tell jokes. And I tell you what, I'm gonna make you happy this morning. I hope. That's my hope. I said, what do we have that Adam never had? Anybody know? We have ancestors. Where was Solomon's temple located? On the side of his head. What did Adam say before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. How did Moses make coffee? Well, he brews it. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? How do you make... Well, let me skip that one. How long did Cain hate his brother? As long as he was able. Why did man create God before woman? Now, I didn't write this. Alright, why did God create man before woman? Because He didn't want any advice on how to do it. I know. I knew I was going to get some booze. Why did Noah not like the chickens on the ark? Because they were always using foul language. Oh my goodness, I could keep going. There's like 50 of those. You know, we like to laugh. We like, you know, and I think it's good for us to laugh at times about silly things like that. Silly things. But and God loves us to be happy. He wants us to be happy in all circumstances. Just like today, we can laugh and we can be happy. We can be joyous in the Lord. Because we know that He's in control. In Romans chapter 13, it even says that God puts people in place. He rises up kings. He puts people in power and He takes people out of power. He does it for His own purpose and His own good. That's hard for us to understand because we know some pretty evil leaders. Not only in this country, but worldwide. I mean, we hear of all kinds of horrible things, but in John chapter 10, it says the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it more in abundance. To the full, till it overflows. That's what that means. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to have that joy. Have you got a life that's more abundant? And I'm talking about spiritual abundance in your life. Spiritual joy. I choose that. I want to choose that. There's times in my life I get down and depressed and I don't want that. I want to choose joy. I want to choose to make my decision in my life to live in that abundance that He offers. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about having joy in times of trials and tribulation, and joy in times of chaos, and joy in times like these for many of us today. We can choose to be happy. You know, I believe that we are all happy when we discover what to do in impossible situations. That's the benefit of godly wisdom. People notice when you are going through a hard time in your life, how you react and how you are and what you do matters. They watch you when you go through that. And when you're somebody that goes through a rough time in your life and you're still smiling and you're still shouting, not that it wasn't tough and not that it's not terrible, but you're still saying, praise God. People notice that. The word blessed is defined in as happy, spiritually, prosperous, joyous. How many of you are blessed today? We use that word quite often. I'm blessed. Really, are you blessed? Amen? Are you really blessed? Are you really happy and spiritually prosperous and joyous? Scripture said, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Amen. Matthew 5 says, blessed, happy, inevitably, fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of His grace regarding of their outward conditions are the pure at heart, for they will see God. That's what all that really means, if you want to define it. That's what he was saying. That's what I want to be, right? I want to choose that, right? I don't want to live in depression and in anger and in offense all the time. I don't want to go around being mad at everybody. I want that. Amen. That's what I choose. That's why I said this morning, I am just absolutely couldn't wait to get here this morning. I feel that way in my heart, inside of me. In the Old Testament, happiness is a state of being relieved. In the New Testament, happiness is a state of the Christian who is in walking in the fullness of God. It is to be well off, supremely blessed, and fully satisfied. Amen. That's good. I'm fully satisfied. Why? I'm because of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. We sing that song, "It is well with my soul." Writer of that song, most of us, I think a lot of us know the history behind that song. The guy lost a lot. He lost his whole family. But yet he could write the words of that song, "It is well with my soul. Peace like a river." Man, what a song to sing. You know, our Heavenly Father wants us to be satisfied and joyous despite of our circumstances. That's why I want to talk to you about that this morning. That's why I want to say this to you this morning, because no matter what our circumstances are today and what they might be tomorrow, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change that He's still on the throne and He's still in control. That doesn't change. Doesn't change our destiny. Our circumstance shouldn't. It can if you let it. But don't let the chaos and the destructive powers of this world destroy who God wants you to be. The Queen of Sheba experienced something when she met Solomon. Sometimes the quality of life depends on the wisdom of God in your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, it says, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great convoy of camels and she bore spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, and the seating of his servants, and the service of his waiters, and their apparel, and their cupbearers, and their apparel, and his entryway by where he went up to the house of the Lord, and there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was true report which I had heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw it with my own eyes, and indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom has not told me. You exceed the fame of which I'd heard, and happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom." Why did I say that? People who do not know God will see the believer's quality of life and be impressed. What you do matters. Amen. What you do matters. How is your quality of life today? How is it seen to the unbelieving community? How is your witness seen to the unbeliever? Can they see Jesus in you? I've said this many times. I said, when I look in a mirror, I want to see Jesus' reflection, not mine. That's how close to Him I want to be. Because that's what I want the world to see in me. I'm not a perfect person. I'm a human being living here in an imperfect world, but trying to make it through with a perfect God to a perfect heaven. But I cannot do any of that unless I have the fullness of Him, the fullness of God living within me and working in me. And I have to choose that. I have to choose that. That's our free will. That's our choice that we make. We have that choice. We either serve God or we don't. He says you can't do both. You have to do one or you have to do the other. You can't serve God and mammon. God wants us to be happy and enjoy life. Consider the fact that laughter is good, just like those jokes I told a while ago. Maybe they weren't good jokes, but we still laughed at them, didn't we? Even some of the silliest things we can still laugh at. We laugh at each other sometimes. I can laugh at Mark and he can laugh at me. And I hope he doesn't get offended because I don't get offended by him. I could choose to be offended. But laughter is good. Sorry, Mark, I didn't mean to pick on you. Just perfect right there. I mean, I'm looking at you. God wants us to be happy, but He does not want us to sin to achieve happiness. I will say that. We have to be careful with that. We are to be complete, content, and joyful in Him. The things of this world will not keep you content. Because one thing leads to another thing. You get one thing and it doesn't make you happy, so you got to have more. And it's a vicious cycle that you always got to have more. The next thing is better. This is better. Got to have it. Got to have that. Got to have this. It never stops. And it never brings true happiness. True contentment. True joy. True peace. Never brings it. It is with Him. It is with Him. And as we move closer to Him, He moves closer to us. And I use that scripture many times, and I love it because He says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. People recognizing who they were. My being is not in the stuff that I have here in this on this earth. My being is in Jesus Christ. My quality of life should reflect in whom I live for. Amen. The way I should reflect is that people know that Christ lives within me. So what you do matters. Part of a practical Christian living life is the quality, not quantity, of things that you have. The quality of my life is based on the godly decisions that I make for Jesus Christ every day. I don't make decisions for him. He makes decisions for me because I surrender my life to him. I try to the best of my ability. And I try to listen to him and try to honor him. How do I know what he wants? You read his Bible. You read the Word. And the Word tells you what he wants. And then you trust it. You believe it. You live by it, no matter what. No matter what chaos goes on around you, no matter what sickness that comes upon you, no matter what happens to you in your life. The word blessed, again, I'll say this, the word blessed is defined happy, spiritual, prosperous, joyous, and inevitable. This ought to be our. We want to walk in the fullness of God, and this is the quality of our life for the believer. Walking in the qualities of God. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be satisfied and joyous despite of our circumstances. You know, when the Queen of Sheba experienced what she saw from Solomon, she wanted that. Not his possessions, not that. She wanted that wisdom. Where did it come from? She wanted that, is what she wanted. And my prayer to you is, Jesus, I want to have a life of quality, not just quantity. Jesus, help me to walk in your fullness that you show me through the Word of God. And Jesus, let me be happy spiritually. Joyous. Let my life reflect you in every facet of my life. Teach me and train me. That's why we sang that song, Teach Me, O God. Show me, O God, any wicked way in me that I need to get rid of. Anything in me that holds me back from having this relationship with you. Anything in me. We have to do that every day. Why? Because we have an adversary that wants to steal your spiritual joy. He's out there running to and fro trying to destroy somebody. And he does it every day. Let my life reflect you. Teach me, train me, use me. Let me be satisfied no matter what I go through. And I pray these things every day of my life. Amen? I pray those things every day of my life. So I want to leave you today with this. Let us be satisfied in the Lord. Let us be satisfied with what God offers us and know that He is in control. Amen? And always remember, what you do and what you say matters. Live for Christ. Amen. Live for Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come here and gather together, unified with one purpose, Lord, and that's to praise and worship you. Lord, I just ask that you keep us safe. Lord, keep us motivated. Lord, let your Holy Spirit always dwell in this place. Dwell upon us and keep us strong. Lord, we put our trust in you. Lord, our faith is in you. Lord, keep us and guide us, direct us in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.